This dude packed his drawers, his underwear, some shirt, pants. Like, he just packed a whole bunch of stuff.
Yeah, I was going to say, it wasn't just a pair of underwear. It was, like, his whole collection of underwear.
Yeah, and then I was like, why did you do that? So this morning I asked him, why did you pack all that stuff? He was like, just in case I pee on myself.
Hello, my name is Mrs. Melanin.
And I'm Belief Mel.
And we're here with episode 189 of How Married Are You?
Okay, my name is Belief, this is Yvette. Married 13 years. I forget how the rap goes.
Wow.
Don't look at me like that.
Like, it sounded like not good.
Okay.
It sounded very offbeat. Okay. And for me to say that.
It's bad. I know it's bad because.
I said it.
I watched you iron offbeat one time. You was ironing a shirt and had no rhythm. Just joking. That was a joke. You supposed to laugh.
I was like, what? How do you have rhythm while ironing? I was so confused.
Come on, babe.
I was like, are you really that offbeat, Yvette?
My
so
name
tragic.
Belief, this is Yvette, married 13 years. Okay. My name, Belief, this is Yvette, married 13 years. Live in California, and we got
four kids.
Relationships scary. It's very necessary. We share all of our struggles. We ask
how married are you?
Every Tuesday and Thursday, shawty. If you're listening, you're in the wedding party. It's okay if you want to put your hands up. You got the questions, we got the answers.
It's chocolate baby story time.
Chocolate baby story time.
It's chocolate baby story time.
1, 2, 3, and...
All right, y'all. So our kids have started. Every year I try to find some sort of homeschool enrichment program for the kids to participate in to kind of give them an opportunity to socialize with other homeschoolers and be in a learning environment that is not ours, to change up the learning environment a little bit. Well, it was the first day of that day, of the day. So it's one day a week. They're gone for a majority of the day. I dropped off all four kids. All four. Uzi started junior kindergarten this year, and I was not expecting him to last the whole day.
Yeah.
First of all, I dropped him off, got him in line to go with his people, and then they started to walk off. Like, I was with him the whole time. I was, like, doing a squat, making sure he could see me. We were, like, connecting, and then it was time for them to leave. I get up, I back away. They start walking away, and I start crying.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, this was not supposed to happen. He was supposed to cry, and then I was supposed to take him home. Mm-hmm. I don't think I expected him to, like, make it through, like, to even go that far. And then I went to go check on him. Like, you know, after they had gotten settled for a few minutes, I went to go, like, just look and see if he was still okay. And he was fine. He was playing. And then he caught me and he made eye contact with me and then kind of turned away like, I don't know who you are.
Yeah. Ain't nobody else, mom, here.
Yeah. Why are you there?
Yeah.
And then during the day, Glenn called me to check on him because, you know, you was nervous, too.
Mm-hmm.
But one of my friends, she works on the campus. She texted me a picture of him sitting all by himself, kind of looking mopey or whatever. But I guess he was watching the other kids on his swing and he wanted to turn on the swing. But I'm realizing that he's kind of a COVID baby. Like, he doesn't really have to socialize with other people because his siblings or we are there to, like,
facilitate
that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting. Anywho, though. One of the parents came up to me after school and was like, you win the award for best greeting ever, because that child saw me and ran. Mommy! Jumped into my arms.
Oh my gosh.
It was the best reunion I could have ever.
Did you film it?
I didn't film nothing. I know. I was like, I wish somebody caught it on camera because it was divine.
I'm picking him up next week.
No, you're not. That's my baby.
Nah.
But I'm so proud of him. He made it through the whole day. No accidents.
Wow.
Nothing. He did it. He was a big boy.
Yeah. I just want to talk about last night, how he packed his
backpack.
He packed his backpack and he put one of the kids at the door.
Is someone at the door?
Hold on. He packed his own backpack, and he just, no one told him to.
No one told him to.
He bet just like, here's your book, your backpack or whatever for school. This dude packed his drawers, his underwear, some shirt, pants. Like, he just packed a whole bunch of stuff.
Yeah, I was going to say, it wasn't just a pair of underwear. It was, like, his whole collection of underwear.
Yeah, and then I was like, why did you do that? So this morning I asked him, why did you pack all that stuff? He was like, just in case I pee on myself.
Oh, my goodness.
So right before we get into this topic, I just want to let you know that we sat down and literally started talking. So that is the beginning of this episode. And the second part is as we hop into this email. So we're going to play the beginning of this episode, and then we're going to hop into an email.
I was asking you, is there an expectation? But I understand that there is an expectation.
No. Well, okay. So what do you mean by that?
I guess it would just free me up to do what I'm actually trying to do now. I wouldn't have to try as hard. Because the time would be there, hopefully.
What do you mean? Would I expect you to go get a job?
Not necessarily. I don't know. Yeah. Like, would you expect me, like, if you came home, if the kids were all in school, mm-hmm. and I was sitting at home in a clean house, mm-hmm. watching soap operas, mm-hmm. and maybe hosting brunch with my girls, mm-hmm. or something, how would you feel about that?
I wouldn't care.
Even though we need money.
No, I mean, I understand that. Well, I think in the maturity now, I understand that, like, you sewing into your community and hosting other women is very valuable for community and valuable for life, right? Like, immaturity would say, what did you do all day? You know what I'm saying? Like, me, from experience, I understand. Like, as long as I come home.
To a cooked meal?
No. As long as I come home and you're not, like, you're never here. You know what I'm saying? Like, if I'm like, hey, I'm going to be working late because I didn't finish everything I needed to do. And I like to provide in this way. And so, or I was writing this song and I really love the way this record is going. So now I'm getting vibes from you that's telling me that that's not okay.
So because I'm home all day by myself without kids, it's okay for you to just be gone the entire day?
Okay. So check this out. So I'm saying that I don't understand why you would want to host brunch and watch soap operas. I don't understand that.
I'm not saying that that's a desire of my heart. I would probably be on hikes and all doing
that,
all kinds
right?
of
You'd
stuff.
Be all doing all mm-hmm. that type of stuff, right? And that's your prerogative.
I'd be fine.
And that's what you would want to do, mm-hmm. right? Now, I would want to express my creative ability in all different types of ways, and that time is going to run over the 8-hour standard working hours. Are you hearing me? So I'm feeling like, hey, I don't understand why.
Are you talking about every day?
Well, what were you going to be doing every day?
Let's start this episode.
No. This is a really good topic. This is a really good topic. We'll have to throw the intro in afterwards. Let's just keep going with this because this is good.
Okay.
So what do you think?
What do I think? I think I'm conflicted here. Okay, so the point is, I am a stay-at-home. This is a hypothetical. Don't try to clip it where I say whatever. I am a stay-at-home mom with 4 kids who go to school mm-hmm. from 8 to 3:30. Mm-hmm. During that time, when they're at school, I'm doing some housekeeping, maybe some cooking. But outside of that, I am enjoying my time.
Doing whatever you want.
I'm watching soap operas. I'm going on hikes. I'm hosting brunches. I'm meeting my husband for lunch in the middle of the day. Mm-hmm. I'm doing whatever. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. When they get off at 3:30, I'm there to pick them up. Mm-hmm. And I'm home with them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so you're saying you're going to work from, let's just say, 9 to 5.
Right? I didn't say that.
No, listen. You're going to work your regular shift from 9 to 5. Mm-hmm. But from 5 to whenever, you want to be able to be a creative.
No, I'm a creative for my job.
I know. You want to be extra creative.
I might, yeah, it might spill over.
And so, are you talking about doing that every day? Or is that just a couple nights a week?
It depends. you know, like a couple nights a week. I definitely think I'll be home on weekends for sure. You know what I'm saying? But if you have the whole day to fill yourself up, right?
Yes.
And you can express, you at the end of the day, you could be like, all right, the kids are coming home. Da-da-da-da. Now, if the kids are kind of like, yo, it's hockey practice and soccer and da-da-da, we got to take multiple trips, and of course I'm home for that. You know what I'm saying? But I think in an earlier season, this would have been okay if we were both on the same thing and we made enough money. But now I don't see it possible just because of how tender everything is with the kids. I would have.
What do you mean by tender?
I think the expectations are pretty high with the kids right now.
What expectations? Whose expectations? Their expectations?
Their expectations, yeah.
In what way? Describe one.
Like they expect to see me a few times.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's my thing.
At night.
That's the only, like, that's my thing. Is that, well, when you do have long days, mm-hmm. they'll be like, where's dad? I haven't seen dad today.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because sometimes you leave before they get up, and sometimes you don't get home until after they go to bed.
Yeah.
And so I can't see that happening every day.
Yeah. And so I'm just saying that, like I said before, I don't, it like, really, who you're married to matters. Mm-hmm. Because that's going to tell you a lot about what's possible. Okay? There's some things that were not possible because Yvette didn't believe at some point. But now she knows I probably was tripping before. And it's not that big of a deal. You know what I'm saying?
No.
You don't understand what I'm saying?
Be explicit.
Okay. So it's just like, you know, you don't know until you know. You know what I mean? So it's like, you wanted the nanny. I'm like, what for? You wanted a house cleaner. I'm like, what? You're at the house sometimes. Clean it. That's what I thought.
You're at the house sometimes. Clean it.
Exactly. That's my point. So then when you come in here and you're like, what did I do today? I solved everybody else's problems. After everybody left, I was able to be creative. Mm. And then that takes a lot of solitude, mm-hmm. right? And to create what I'm creating, mm-hmm. it is very difficult. And not only that, there's like six different things in those creations. You got rhymes, you got speeches, you got just, sometimes I get a burst of creativity and inspiration. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh my gosh, the heck? Like, I want to do a certain topic on this. You know what I mean? Sometimes I want to pull out Frank or just spin records or come up with a new style to do something, like, or pour into other creatives, mm-hmm. right? So the mission is longer sometimes than the hours demand, but I'm still able to come back and say, all right, you know, let's slow this down. You know what I mean? But I'm willing to stop at any time for the kids and the family, right? I do that. Mm-hmm. But with the amount of our circumstances put us in a different situation. You know what I'm saying? Like, I didn't go to college. I'm learning on the fly. You know, I'm having to pour into other people, get poured into, make decisions real quick, and then really live in my gifting. You know what I'm saying? So I just think in order for me to be successful in this season, I have to, you know, like, if that were our situation, I would have to be productive for that amount of time, you know, and that's just difficult because sometimes somebody just hit me up and like, hey, we need a meeting.
No, I get it. I feel like what is required of you is different than what is required of me because you are required to provide for our family. I mean, we're both providing in certain ways. I understand what it's, I feel like our circumstances though are similar in that I feel like I too all day I'm kind of solving everybody else's problems, mm-hmm. which is why like there's no Yvette Unplugged podcast. There's no weekly newsletters. There's none of that stuff because I don't have the time for that. I need to structure my time differently and make people less dependent on me in mm-hmm. order for me to be able to do those things. And so I feel like that's where I'm at in life, trying to figure out how to get him off me.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, like, all right, let's say perfect world, right? Our situation goes from like, all right, cool. We put our kids in school, mm-hmm. right? Public school or private school, mm-hmm. right? We probably put them in private school or public, what you think?
Private.
Private. And that would cost a lot more than we spend mm-hmm. now. Okay. Which means our monthly bills go up significantly mm-hmm. because we have four of them. Okay. So then.
Why is it four of them?
It's four of them, right? So we have four kids. That's tuition for each kid. Mm-hmm. Then you think about, okay, well, where, how are we going to supplement that? Like, how are we going to make more from that, right? Mm-hmm. Now, you just told me what your day is going to look like. Hiking, girl trips.
No.
Brunches, days of our lives.
No, I'm not saying that that is what it's going to look like, but a couple of days a week might look like
do
that.
Do what you got to do. And the whole thing, babe, what my thing is, whatever you need, do it. But I need some stuff in order to make it happen. Right. And so I listen, like, I believe that I am becoming who I need to be in order to provide for our family in multiple different ways and do what I'm called to do. And I believe you're becoming the woman I need as well. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And I think that sounds so weird because we always think about like getting this person and they set still and they don't ever change. Mm-hmm. But it's like, nah, you. Like, your mindset has to be transformed to be like, yo, no, we have to get it. Mm-hmm. Like, like, you know, it went 2 years ago or a year ago, the situation was kind of like, well, I don't know if I want to do this. And I'm kind of like, good for you. Right now, I was like, this is what I can do. This is what I will do. I'll think about what I want later. Mm-hmm. You know? And so we just think about things different. Right now, you're doing something you don't want to do. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh. Mm-hmm.
You got to do what you don't want to do, right?
Right.
Yeah. Okay. So, yeah, that's a nice little segment. Let's go ahead and get into this email. We got an email?
All right. Hope you and your family are well. First of all, I came across you guys from one of Glenn's fatherhood breakdowns, Uzi and the Seatbelt, I believe. I started listening to How Married Are You sometime last year, and you two are a blessing. I enjoy your family content. It's uplifting and great to see. I put off emailing for a while, but here it is about me. She says her name, but she doesn't want her name said. I'm Nigerian, but live in Ireland. Yes, there are black people here. Ha ha ha. I am a 23-year-old graduate, class of 22, and I started a new job, aka my big girl job, last July. I work for a tech consulting company. My role itself is my role itself is quite technical. I've been doing this job for a while and I don't enjoy it. Now I got distracted. I've been doing this job for a while and I don't enjoy it. I keep thinking, oh, I'll give it 2 years, but honestly, I don't think I can. I also think maybe finding a different role within the company may be an option. I turn 24 tomorrow and am currently single and trusting that God will give me my life partner at the right time. I have interests like music, makeup, fashion, and cooking. I would love to do an MBA abroad. Master's of Business Administration? MBA?
I thought that was just a master's degree.
Oh, maybe.
I have no idea.
I don't want to live life stuck in a job that gives no fulfillment. I'm just kind of unsure how to harness these interests into a career that is not only fulfilling, but also will allow me to financially be stable. I also don't want to end up being someone's girlfriend and eventually wife who is constantly complaining about her job. Any advice would be greatly appreciated. Much love. I like this email because it's not like our typical email.
Mm-hmm.
You know, usually it's a relationship, something or another. This person is like, in my singlehood, I'm 23, about to be 24 tomorrow. She's 24. I'm 24 years old. I don't like my job.
Mm-hmm.
What should I do?
Because
I don't want to end up in a relationship where I'm complaining about my job. And let me tell you something. I've been married to that person. It ain't fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I think that, you know, as someone who's had multiple jobs that I could not stand, and just I wasn't good at or called to do.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't really understand what the other part of that was. So the other part of not enjoying your job or your season, right, and just I realized that no matter where what job I worked at, I didn't like any of them. You know what I'm saying? Like I like there wasn't a job I was like, man, this is. But this job was actually.
But was there a job that initially piqued your interest as if it was going to be something that was?
What do you want, child? I got a solution for you while you're playing pool right now, while we're trying to work. You can put the pool table away.
But is that true?
What?
Theo says if I hit his ball to get my ball in the pool, it's his ball.
Is yeah, you got to call that.
Really?
Yeah, man. Anaya, what do you want? You're sneaking
so
in.
So, like,
here.
If you hit the white.
What did she say?
I don't know. Close, crack the door.
Get off of that. You're going to knock over the picture.
I can't see nothing. Babe, I actually need a light in front of my thing. I was on a call today. What suggestions do you have? Should I take one of these?
What are you talking about? Because you're not bright enough over here?
No. At home. Anyways, we'll talk about it later. So wait, are you... your eyebrows just twitched.
Are you about to talk about pool? Or are you talking about...
I have multiple things. I just went to three different places because I do. Let me stay on track really quick. So if the white ball, if I'm solids and you're stripes, mm-hmm. if I use the white ball to hit a stripe to get my solid into a pocket.
You're not supposed to do that.
Why?
Because you're only supposed to hit your balls.
But what if there's no way for me to not hit your ball?
That's where you got to do geometry and skill and be technical.
So you
and
said
you can make the balls jump. Like it's a lot of skill that goes into it.
Oh, like jump over the thing. Psh.
Yeah.
All right. My second question was, I need light, but we'll talk about that after.
Okay.
And then thirdly, let's pick up where we left off. So you said you realized that every job you had, you didn't like none of them. However, was there any job that you got that you initially thought you were going to like? Because I think there's a difference. For me, I wanted to be a teacher.
Mm-hmm. But see, I gotta like it all, or I gotta like probably like 75% of the job and hate 25%. You know what I'm saying? I gotta like most of the job. So let me tell you, like something about teaching. Did you like tutoring?
Actually, yes.
Did you like grading papers?
Actually, yes.
Ugh.
It was like the administration and all of them that I didn't really like.
Okay.
I mean, no offense to administrators. They were just doing their jobs sometimes.
So that's like maybe like 5% of the job you didn't like.
Oof.
15?
I mean, as an ASB director, I had to deal with administration quite a bit.
But as a math teacher, probably not so much.
Test results. I mean, like, okay, so let's say teaching. Whew, I don't know. It depends on what the year.
Okay.
Because there was years where I literally had to teach a class full of Spanish speaking students.
Yeah.
And I'm an English speaking
person.
Adult.
Yeah.
So it was like I was set up for failure, I felt like. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So that was kind of one of those things where it's like I feel like administration could have set me up for success in a better way. They did give me a Spanish speaking aid, but
yeah, that was tough.
That was a rough year. I had a couple of years like that.
Yeah. Woo. I remember that, man. That was tough. It was hard.
So like I feel like, yes, I enjoy, like when you teach and they get it, or even you get to make those personal connections, and it's just, I loved teaching.
Yeah.
I love teaching. It's harder now. I think teaching 4 kids homeschool is harder than teaching hundreds of kids every day, but whatever.
Mm. One subject. Teaching one subject.
Well, it was like a couple different, but yeah.
Okay, so I would say that most of the jobs I had, I probably liked 25% of the job.
Wow.
So.
What part is that? Was that the employees that you worked with, like the coworkers, or the actual job?
No, like sometimes the actual job. Like I think the best job I ever had was working at Men's Warehouse.
Really?
Like that was the most fun. Because of the salesman banter and the challenge of getting someone to buy 2 suits and they came in 1 in socks. Like that was the like,
did you do that to people?
Heck yeah, man. I was a pretty decent salesman. I didn't know that. And so what happens is that job I actually really enjoyed. Because I had the at first I started out as like a CSA, as a customer service assistant uh-huh. associate. And I would be the guy that, like, after the salesman says, hey, I got two suits. I got a gray one and I got a blue one. I need six tie combos. And I had to go pick out mad different shirts and ties. And I'd say, hey, this goes with this and this, this. And you can wear this with jeans and this sports coat. This turns into a sports coat. You know what I'm saying? And that was cool. And then they were like, man, you probably should just be a salesman. And then I started, like, being a salesman in 2007. Right before the financial crash.
That's when my dad was having his midlife crisis and you sold him a bunch of daggone suits that he didn't need.
That's a lie to God. Because he rented a tuxedo for a wedding. Oh,
was he renting a tuxedo?
He ain't buy nothing for me.
Actually, he did buy a... There was one point where he bought a bunch of clothes.
That's a lie. That's a lie. So I ain't said that meant nothing. He rented a tuxedo. Oh, okay. I sized him. That's okay. It. So, yeah. So then I really liked that job, but I didn't have that that like savage intent. So somebody come in like, man, I only have $200. Maybe I can get a credit card. I'd be like, man, don't get yourself in debt for this. This ain't that serious.
Well, you was on something then back in the day.
What you mean like I was real, on something?
Like a real debt-free, like you were very intentional about becoming debt-free. Yeah. You had this really.
Yeah, I was on a whole nother level then. But I really was passionate about like, talking to people. Like I didn't know I was good at that, but then it reminded me of the days when I used to sell oils and incense. Like I had so many different jobs and I had to make $30 before I could eat. Did you know that?
Yeah.
$30 and I'll get a McChicken and a value fry from McDonald's and keep it moving every day.
Ew.
So having being in that situation, when you're in a place that you don't want to be in, it helps you find a place that you want to be in. So if you work a job you hate, you get to dream about what you love. So what she was able to tell us there was that she's passionate about. She likes, what'd she say?
Music, makeup, fashion, and cooking.
Music, makeup, fashion, and sound like you're a vlogger. Just straight up and down.
It does, I don't think.
Music, makeup, fashion, and cooking.
I feel like that's what she says that those are her interests. It doesn't necessarily say.
That's what she's good at?
No. Not necessarily good at. But, like, it doesn't say anything about vlogging. I think you're just thinking automatically content creation.
Of course I am. I mean, I don't think it's for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I think you need thick skin and you need creative ability.
Mm-hmm.
But you can still do that type of stuff in your off time and, you know, help someone else. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I think one of the craziest things is, like, so many people don't understand how underserved content creators are. Like, I need an assistant.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, people, we need operations managers and human resource people and all this other stuff. Like, there's a team of people that you can get around and starting off by just venturing into social media and starting to play around gives you so much understanding of the thing. Now, a lot of people start to work for influencers and want $90,000 a year. It's not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Like, go expecting regular expectations and stop trying to get rich off of people because you think that because they have a million subscribers, they're billionaires. It doesn't work that way. But I do believe that most of us really can excel in whatever our interest in by helping other people. I really like to challenge this young lady here. Like, what I was going to say in the beginning was I found that I did all those jobs I couldn't stand and I realized I can't work for nobody else. I cannot have a boss. I remember one time I was working on bass and my boss was like talking and he was like, yeah, man, you need to do this and this and this. He was kind of popping off and I was like, well, fire me then. In word, like, I don't care. I did not care.
You said that out loud?
To his face.
While I was married to you?
Let me go.
And you had children? You had Theo.
At least Theo.
You had a wife and a child?
The way he was talking to me was reckless. You know what I'm saying? Because on base, they treat you like they treat Marines because they're all ex-military. And so they treat you, they kind of call you like whatever they want to call you and stuff. So I was like, man, whatever. You know what I'm saying? Whatever, bro. I can leave right now. I do not care. You know what I'm saying? And I realized that after working so hard, I was never going to get promoted because they only promoted people who were prior military. So I was just like, man, get me out of here. You know? So I would say I would use this time to continue to work and get that bread. Recognize that this is temporary. You know, it's not something that gotta last forever, but it is like a very beautiful thing to dream. And sometimes when you're in a place you can't stand, you're able to, like, on your off time, make the most of it, you know?
Yeah, it's hard for me to relate to this situation because I don't really have experience working jobs I didn't like. Mm. I will say, John Paul got me a job at iZod. I don't know if that's bad to say on whatever, but it was a job at the outlet, and I didn't really enjoy that job. And I worked at Kmart, and I didn't really enjoy that job either.
Retail
wasn't really my thing. However, I was young, I was a teenager, and I needed money. But every other job that I've had, Pacific Gyre, working as an accountant, well, I wasn't an accountant. What was I? Like an assistant to an accountant? Bookkeeper, kind of. What other jobs?
Were you in college then? Or were you teaching as well?
When?
When you were working for Ms. Anderson.
I was in college, I think, but I only worked for her during summer.
Summer. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And then Pacific Gyre was like high senior year, summer. But yeah, so I don't really have a lot of it because Pacific Gyre was such a dope, like, because it exposed me to like a genre. I don't know if genre is the right word, but like, it had to do with like oceanography, and they put like buoys in the ocean to monitor. I actually really don't even fully know what they all did, but I got to do things like soldering, and like it mm-hmm. just made me feel cool and technical and like I was doing some stuff. Mm. So it was very interesting working there, like the different things I was exposed to.
You could have been bagging up cocaine and didn't even know. Put them joints, buoys.
I don't think so. Anywho, and then I got to work with some cool people. It was a family-owned business, so it was really a good environment. And then working for Ms. Anderson was really cool because I got to, like, run payroll and just do different. Like, it was very, like, I mean, accounting can be kind of dry, I guess, but for a numbers person, it was dope. So, and then, like, I went to school to become a teacher, and then I became a teacher.
Yeah.
So... And I was a substitute teacher for a little bit too. And that was fun. But so I don't know what it's like to fall into something that like I don't enjoy. And it sounds like she also worked toward becoming like to doing, living out this career mm-hmm. and then just discovered, oh, this isn't like what I thought it was going to be. And I think that in your 20s, it's okay to have that experience. It's tough if you don't necessarily have parents to like kind of fall back on to support you while you go explore and figure out what course you want to take in life. But I do believe like as you're in this career as a single woman, I think you do have some freedom that some people who are married with kids don't necessarily have. And I think that Glenn is right. I think you should stack that paper. But while you're doing that, explore these different interests.
Yeah, get some hobbies.
Like,
right?
Really figure out what it is. Like, go to, I don't know. I feel like they have, like, esthetician school classes or, like, something you could do. And then maybe you could be building up a clientele. I mean, I don't know how long you're planning on staying in where is she? Ireland. I really want to go to Ireland. Did I ever tell you?
You
want
to go everywhere.
Girl, you want to bring me out to Ireland? Let's do some stuff.
You gonna go out there with a stranger? Won't even tell you her name.
She did tell me her name.
Listen,
didn't tell them her name.
Just to put some, like, just to help you guys understand, okay? I worked at a card factory outlet. I worked at McDonald's. I worked at Foot Locker. I swept hair at a barbershop. I worked in the back of a CD store making burnt copies so the DJ could sell them on the weekends. At the flea market, right? I worked at a bookstore. I worked at the men's warehouse. I worked at a Solo Cup Company, which is where they make cups. I worked at the men's warehouse. I was a freaking salesman there. I was a rehab technician. What else did I do?
Is that what you did at the
V? Yeah.
You were a taxi cab driver. You took care of an old man.
I drove taxis like 2 years before Uber came out. I was driving taxis. I had to wake up at 4 a.m. and I had to start driving at 4 a.m. and end driving at 4 p.m. And I had to pay $80 a day for the car. It sucked. I was a CNA for an old elderly person. I got peed on.
The way you just did your aunt.
Other things I've done. I've done other things.
Did you do the call center?
Oh my gosh. I worked at a cubicle at a diabetes firm and a call center, and it was so boring. I was like, this is the worst ever.
Babe, was this all before you turned 30?
Well, when I turned 30, where was I working at?
I don't know. I'm trying to remember.
Who we was were married. Born we were when married. You were
30?
We had our first kid at 28, and I worked. Yeah, it was all before I turned 30.
Yeah, and so that's what I'm saying. I feel like your 20s is the time for you to be able to, like...
I had, like, 27 jobs before I turned 30. I mean, you do the math.
Babe, I just watched your fingers. It was less than 20.
No, I haven't... I don't remember all of them.
Oh.
But I have, like, a lot of different careers. I used to install...
Okay, we get it.
Countertops.
You did a lot.
And polish them. I worked at Home Goods.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, we get it. Yes. You had 27 jobs. Dang. That's crazy.
I know I'm missing a few. Anyway, girl, follow your dreams, man. You ain't got to be loyal to these jobs.
Yeah. I mean, do it, but also be strategic.
Don't be like me, first of all.
I'm saying do it, but be strategic. Hello? Yeah. So I think it's okay. Like, see if there's a, like a, because at one point, Glenn was considering taking a haircutting class.
Going to barber school.
Barber school or something.
How much it costs? $15,000.
Yeah. But they have programs that work with people who are working. So, like, you could probably find some sort of school that would help you. Like, I don't know what it is for makeup artists, but some type of school that gets you certified so that you can get a certificate and work weekends at, I don't know, doing people's makeup for weddings or whatever. And in the meantime, you can do people for free and post it on Instagram and see if anybody else gains interest. I mean, that's the one of the perks of living in the days of today.
I used to be a DJ at a skate rink.
Okay, babe. You were a DJ. Did you even list DJ?
I was a DJ.
And he was a rapper. He still is. A
videographer? Whatever. Anyway, what do we say now?
How married are you?
You want me to go first?
Yeah.
I'm so married that last night, after you went to sleep, I loaded the dishwasher and started.
I was wondering.
Did you think you did it?
No, I was wondering, like, when did this happen?
Yeah.
Because
it's like 11.
I feel like, yeah, I don't know. I appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah, because I was like, dang, she's about to wake up. So we were going to sleep and we were watching something. And she set her alarm for like 3:30. And I was like, oh my God, she's about to wake up in like 6 hours. And she was tired. And I was like, man, she's got to do all that stuff in the morning. The least thing I could do is load the dishwasher. And then this morning, I was like, I probably could have made the chicken and rice too. So maybe next time. But that's what I did. How married are you?
I'm so married that today I had to waddle from the toilet to the kids' bathroom to get toilet paper after going big potty, y'all, because my husband left the thing clear, and by the time I got to the toilet...
What thing clear? The toilet paper?
The toilet paper roll. There was no toilet paper. You just... You even... Because usually, babe, you don't even take the brown thing off. Usually, you just leave the brown thing on there. The little, like, cardboard part of the toilet paper roll. The inner tube.
I leave that by itself? Yes. I do not think so.
Oh, my gosh.
Blame it on the kids.
No. It can't be me. Absolutely not. No.
It can never be me.
Babe. Okay. I got you.
All right.
I'm going to start getting video evidence.
I need receipts.
Okay.
Okay.
But listen, normally that's your thing. And.
That's my thing. I go around getting in relationships significantly for 13 years just to leave a little brown tube on the toilet paper
holder. At least that. Babe, I feel like you've told me in the past you do that so you know. So the person comes and they know, oh, I got to go get some toilet paper before I sit down in this toilet. Anyway, I don't know what I was doing, but I didn't pay attention. I just sat down and took care of business.
If I ever said that, I was trifling. Sorry.
You were very trifling.
Okay.
You are.
Okay.
Anyway, I'm so married. I didn't actually cuss you out loud. I just did it in my head.
Yeah.
Does that count?
Yeah, that's something.
That's something. I
that's
mean,
great.
That's all I got.
That's great.
And that's just how married we are.